Hey, welcome to the Toronto Today podcast. My name is Greg Brady, host of Toronto Today, which you can hear on the radio 5:30 to 9. But we put this podcast together for you to capture the day's highlights. Today, April 23rd, international students and where this is going with so many students claiming asylum. It's not really what they ended up coming here for. We want this to work for all concerned, the institutions, the communities, and of course, the international students. So Earl Blaney, immigration consultant and education agent, will check in there.
We seem to have a good chunk of our post-secondary system that is built on a house of cards. We have a system that is underfunded. Everybody says it. The province's own Blue Ribbon panel said it. And as a result, we have become overly dependent on foreign students in order to keep the system afloat. Then the federal government decides it wants to cut back on the number of foreign students coming, and everybody, surprise, surprise, is shocked that the rest of the system is falling apart. If you don't want to get to the foundation of the problem, if you just want to tinker away at the edges, I'm afraid nothing's going to happen. But it doesn't appear that anybody actually wants to deal with the foundation of the problem, and thus we are where we are.
That was TVO Steve Paikin, 640 contributor on Think Tank. There's a lot of lessons to be learned here about immigration and how that mixes with education at that. You are often seeing stories. I watch a ton of BBC and Sky News. I watch a lot of the UK stuff. And I didn't know this until a few days ago. And I know Donald Trump came in with a policy when he ran for president in 16. He's like, I'm going to build a border wall on Mexico. And people were like, oh, what a terrible human being. And whether or not you think that's true, the European countries now have a combined 10 border walls that measure more than six times the length of the Berlin Wall. Because at some point in time, it was okay to say, you know what? We should have secure borders, and we should decide and have a balance, skilled, unskilled refugees, skilled immigrants, unskilled immigrants, refugees, and decide who comes into the country. And if you've noticed this, it's now comfortable and okay to talk about international students and say, we want the best for the ones that come here. We want the best and brightest. We want people to come, go to our schools, be taught by our great professors and teachers, and then we'd love for them to stay and work and be part of the solution, not the problem. What's transpiring now, though, the story in the Globe and Mail yesterday, a spike in international student asylum claims. And right away, you would think, okay, this whole international student thing is being, you know, used properly by some. Of course that's true. Maybe even the majority. But it's clearly being abused by others as a way to get into Canada and, as importantly, stay here. Earl Blaney's a licensed immigration consultant down the road in London, Ontario, but really smart stuff on this topic. Earl, thanks for coming back on Toronto Today.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks for having me on. Good morning, Toronto.
When I lay out those student asylum claims, there's some at some community colleges that are just shocking. Niagara College, there were 20 of them in 2018. 5 years later, a half decade later, there's 530 and on down the line at almost every community college and some of the universities, we're seeing the same thing. Why is it just we've made this so easy?
Well, I think it's a few things. Certainly, it is easier for people who want to come into Canada to use the international study program than any other way. Those kind of applications are legitimized by all kinds of contextual documents, like a letter of acceptance from the school, financials, et cetera, that would suggest that you do have the intention of coming to study. So I think that's being used to facilitate entry for non-genuine students a lot. And that's not news. I mean, we've been well aware of that for a long time, as the volumes have drastically increased over the last few years, from 600,000 coming in 2019 to 1 million international students plus in Canada in 2023. So, you know, with that volume increase comes a lot of room to slip people through the cracks. And IRCC is having, Federal Department of Immigration is having a hard time assessing the mass volumes of applications credibly at this point. There's a lot more going on. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, one thing is, you know, who's coming in and why are they coming in? But the other thing is the students who are here, the over 1.5 million non-permanent residents who are the international students or graduates, most of them are coming in the first places, particularly at the community college level where these asylum claims are just exploding. most of the students are coming to pursue permanent residency pathways. They've been promised that this is an easy go by the education agents overseas, sending them to Canada, making money off that in the process, commissions from the schools, et cetera, et cetera. But you've got mass quantities of people coming in under false promises, under false pretenses. When they get here, they're realizing now that, you know, the system is much more competitive, mainly due to volumes coming in. And they can't achieve permanent resident transition. So this is one of the many ways that they're using to extend stays permanently or try to gain permanent residency status.
And I think some of the tragedy of this is some of these students are clearly sold a bill of goods. There'll be work, there'll be a cheap place to live. But Earl, they may even be sold that you'll be able to handle the workload and the curriculum and it's easy. And you and I could look in the mirror or know people around us and we're like, oh, that person found university or college way harder than they thought they would. If they're to flunk out, let's say, after first year, is that where a lot of the asylum claims are coming from? They just don't want to go home. They're embarrassed. They spent the money together in the first place, and they'll use any measure possible to stay?
Well, I mean, that's the essence of it. I don't suppose that in most cases it's a challenge with academics. Probably it's more of a challenge with financials. Mm-hmm. A lot of these students are coming to Canada, you know, and part of that process requires them to declare financials. Most of that money, in terms of what's being presented to the embassies when they're assessing these applications, are non-genuine funds. They're funds from money lenders. They're funds from aggregated recruitment platforms that lend students money to facilitate this process. I mean, it's not their money. Right? There's no indication at embassy level when you're reviewing these applications that this person cannot afford or this person is not of the correct socioeconomic status to come. So, I mean, there are a lot of problems in how these applications are being presented to the embassies and the paperwork involved, and who is behind the paperwork.
Earl Blaney's our guest, immigration consultant, education agent on Toronto Today. With a lower number, and we don't, some of these issues are baked in, I think, and especially in these university towns, we've talked about them before, like Kitchener, Guelph, London with Western and Fanshawe. Fanshawe's got a tremendously high number of international students, way more than Western does. With all these issues in the sort of smaller, B-level population towns, Do we look and think that we'll notice a difference this fall in a lack of international students and thus a lack of asylum claims, or way too early to tell?
Oh, I don't think it's too early to tell. The cap itself that has been imposed by the federal government is full of holes. The policy rollout on that has been just outrageous. The bottom line is, if you're looking for a major significant drop in non-permanent residents in Canada, which the government has framed this cap as facilitating, the cap is not going to do that. A one-in, one-out policy, which is how the cap is framed, you know, for that to stabilize non-permanent residents volume in Canada, these students would actually have to leave, or the graduates have to leave at the end of their authorized stay. There is increasing evidence to suggest that that is not going to happen as expected.
Doesn't feel like there's something illegal about what it's believed that some immigration lawyers are doing. But of course, we could talk about the ethics of it. It's quoted, the quote in the story is, a lot of immigration lawyers are telling them to file refugee claims to stay in the country. It's the last strategy to keep staying here. And as we said, that's one of those scenarios that's from Richard Curlin, an immigration lawyer. There sort of isn't a real checks and balances for that. Doesn't sound like that's breaking the law, but it's up to somebody at some point to say, yeah, I'm not buying your asylum claim. You have to go back.
Well, there's a due process there, in Canada. Just so everyone understands, cost to taxpayers on each of these claims ranges from $10,000 to about $35,000 plus cost of deportation. That's for failed claims. So that's build that into your budget, Christmas budgets moving forward.
Yeah, yeah. Why have major universities not done what most community colleges have? Why the disparities is something? I was talking in the States over the weekend, and they're shocked by this. I'm like, nah, just Google this, because they have not had this happen at their schools. They have not had this happen at their universities or their tech colleges or anything, this explosion of the border, just for a post-secondary education. We have, they haven't.
The difference between community college and university international students is typically night and day. When you look at the data in the top 20 school of climate of asylum claims, 9 out of 20 are Ontario public colleges. Only 2 are universities. The reason for that is those institutions are attracting drastically different sorts of students to begin with. Students with lower socioeconomic status, students who are driven by edge immigration, are much more likely to attend community college, public community colleges in Ontario or elsewhere. The reason being the programs are cheaper and of shorter duration, i.e. cheaper. So universities, by the cost of their tuition, tend to attract more bona fide students. So that's the answer to your question.
Wonderful stuff. Really enjoy having you on, Earl. Thanks so much for the time.
Thanks very much.
Earl Blaney, immigration consultant and education agent. I got interesting thoughts on the other side on all that he laid out there. Many people, again, they're looking at us in Europe and they're looking at us in the U.S. going, what's going on? And this is all about providing the international student the opportunity. They've got responsibility. They've got accountability when they get here. You're supposed to go to class? Go to class. You're supposed to be here for education. If I go to Tokyo for school and all of a sudden I drop out, well, that aspect is on me. And I wouldn't expect, oh, I can just get a work visa. I've told this story before, but when working in the States, my visa was to work at one place. I had an H-1B visa. You work at one place. Hey, what if a radio station from Chicago wants to hire you? I mean, what if? Windy City? That sounds great. But my visa was only good to work in Detroit. I'd need to start utterly from scratch, foundation up, to get a brand new visa. We don't seem to have that kind of tightness here with immigration, period, and certainly with international students. We want to work for them. We want them to go back to where they came from, which sounds like a dangerous phrase anyway, and tell everybody what a terrible experience living in Canada was, or Southern Ontario or Toronto. That's not great for us in the long run or the short run. Hey, appreciate your time so much. Thanks for listening to Toronto Today podcast. And we're back live on the air 5:30 to 9. Hope to hear you then.